Well, good morning, everybody. I want to tell you I love you. I really do. Thank you. It's really good to be here, and I've been here enough times, and I know a number of you now, and it just feels like home. It's just family. We're family, aren't we? The family of God. And no matter where we go, you know, when I was in Bible college my freshman year, back in 82, 83, I tried out for the singing group. And I got it. I couldn't believe it. I got to be on the singing group, a four-person singing group. And we traveled all over the Northwest. And one of the things I discovered that was really good for me is no matter where we went, we stayed in people's homes. And, you know, the family of God is kind. The family of God is gracious, generous. The family of God is everywhere. Isn't that cool? Say, that's cool. It is. It's cool. Family of God is everywhere. Well, today I'm going to bring a second half of a message. I preached on June 1st here of what forgiveness is not. And I think there was maybe 7 or 8, 9, 10 points, whatever that was, I don't remember, of what forgiveness is not. But today we're going to look at what forgiveness is. So let's begin with this question. With what one decision in your life, makes you most look like Jesus? Out of all the things you could do and be and say and express and behave, one tops the whole list. What it makes you most look like Jesus? Any guesses? Forgiveness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Another way of saying this verse is to forgive one another in the same way God has forgiven you. Well, how has God forgiven you? What did it cost Him to forgive you? You know, and when we are experiencing the difficulty of giving forgiveness. Because to give forgiveness means something has cost you. Something hurts. Something isn't right. Wrongness has happened. And to forgive like God forgives, help us ask this question of Him. God, do you even realize how hard it is for me to forgive that person? And God's going, I didn't forgive just one person. I forgave all of you. I forgave the likes of you. And yes, I do know how hard it is to forgive. I gave my son that you and I could then be together. Wow. God knows. God knows. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Well, how is it that giving forgiveness makes us most look like Christ? It's because giving forgiveness God's way requires you to first get your heart and your mind in alignment with God. Right? Adjustments need to be made because in the flesh, without Jesus, we'd be a hateful group of people. We would go quickly into hate, into judgment, into bashing, into ruining someone else's reputation. That's what we would do without Jesus. Forgiveness always requires us to first get mind and heart back in line with Jesus. So if we have a compass and zero is due north and my heart is at 90 or 180 from due north, I got some aligning I need to do first before I can even think about going into forgiveness of someone else. Forgiveness requires us to first get our mind and our heart and attitudes towards others in the same way Jesus' attitude towards us is. And so we need to get our minds and hearts in alignment. That takes some time. That takes some work. Because the deeper the hurt, the deeper the cost, the greater the hurt is about, will require you to really get into God's way of seeing people. God's way of seeing people. To value people. Our country over the last 4 or 5 years especially seems like we've become so quick to judge other people. So quick. I don't even have to try. It just, here it is. Judgment of other people. Very, very quick. Brothers and sisters, we need to be very slow. Scripture says, be slow to anger. Slow. Don't let Satan get a foothold in your life. This one act alone, this forgiveness act, is what Christ chose to offer all mankind before the creation of the world. That means that Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, had a plan in place before the creation of the world. And the plan, out of Ephesians 1:4, says this, that whoever comes into Christ will be seen and valued as holy and blameless in God's sight. That's a pretty cool plan. Be viewed as holy and blameless in His sight. Before we can start giving forgiveness, I need to reconnect with who I really am, my identity. I am holy and blameless in God's sight. Are you? We don't always feel that way, but truth doesn't require our emotions to follow along, right? Everybody say right. Right. Our emotions may not be in the same place that Scripture is telling us you are. Well, I don't feel like that. Okay. But don't let emotions become truth. Let Scripture be truth. Amen? Let Scripture be truth. And your emotions, as you say emotions, here's how I feel. Emotions, you do not tell me what truth is. I'm letting Scripture tell me what truth is. And it's here that as I practice God's truth, as I look at the world through Scripture, my emotions begin to follow suit. I don't follow my emotions. My emotions follow truth. Yes? If you think our world is full of hate now, what would it be like if Christ had never come? What would this place be like now? If Christ had never come? Have you ever thought about that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in Christians like you that hate, judgment, ridicule, damaging other people's lives is stymied. It's stopped. It says, no, no, hatred, no, you cannot own me. I am not the justifier of justice. God is. I release that to Him. And whatever He decides that person needs to experience, He will bring that to them. It's not my job. Yes? Correct? Everybody say correct. Correct. Thank you. Giving forgiveness is not a requirement for accepting Christ. Did you know that? Giving forgiveness is not a requirement for accepting Christ, but it is a requirement for maturity after you've accepted Christ. You want to grow in Christ? Number one on the list is giving forgiveness. Because it's so darn hard. It's what most puts us into the understanding of what Christ went through to give forgiveness to somebody else. Oh, Jesus, I'm getting it. Man, that was so hard to give that to them. I did not want to do that. And Jesus said in the garden, Father, if there be any other way. See, he knows that place too. He understands. He doesn't think you're a jerk or a weakling because you struggle to forgive. He understands it. He understands it. Thank you, Jesus, that you understand this hard place. Paul wrote of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's between requirement and forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Paul wrote of God's requirement, forgive as or in the same way that God has forgiven you. In the same way. With the same heart attitude toward that person that Jesus had toward you. Whew. Rubber meets the road. Well, let's get into our four elements of how forgiveness
is a long journey in one direction. I just lost my mic. Oh, my battery's dead.
Is this on? Can you hear me? Okay. Yep. Thank you. So, number one, forgiveness is getting your own heart right with God first. Getting your own heart right with God first. Forgiveness never starts with the offender. Did you know that? Forgiveness does not start with the offender. It starts with God. Always. Go to Him first. Before you go that way, go this way. God, I need your help. This is so hard. I cannot do this by myself. If I don't go to you first, I'm going to make mistakes going this way. I remember one time, in, probably, 15 years ago or so, my mom on the phone with one of my church people, and we were having a difference of opinion. A pretty good one. And I said to myself, Delbert, don't say it. Close your mouth, don't say it. Well, it was about an hour-long conversation, and I finally said it. And then I had to go back and mend fences with that person because I let my justice go first. And it hurt. It damaged the relationship for a while. We're back together again, and it took us about, 3 or 4 months of talking through that to get to a place of, okay, we're good with each other again. And I let my justice go first. That's hard. Again, we're talking about aligning ourselves. Forgiveness never starts with the offender. It begins with God. Why? Because only after you set your face toward God and submit your heart to Him will you be able to follow Him in the matter of forgiveness. You look most like Jesus when you forgive, because forgiving others reveals the condition of your heart. There we go. I don't either.
There's a joke in here somewhere. How many people does it take?
Okay. Second point. Forgiveness is unique to God. It's unique to God. Out of all the gods in the world, how many are there? Lots of gods in people's minds. No other God in this world has the mindset to forgive. This is unique to God. God is quick to forgive. God is eager to forgive. All the other gods of the world are here to say, oh, you did it wrong. Black mark for you. You don't get to come in. You don't get to be. You don't get to. Punishment. God's love, God is love, and at the core of love is a settled mind. A settled mind. Say that with me. A settled mind about forgiveness. Meaning that God's face is always turned towards forgiveness. A readiness to forgive, if you will. God's heart is ready to forgive. He calls us to be the same as Him, to have a heart that's always ready to forgive as God forgives. First question, how does God forgive? Well, in Psalm 103:12, oops, right there, find that. There we go, Psalm 103:12. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You know you can go north only so far before you start going south. You can only go south so far before you start going north. But you can go east forever and never go west. The point is, God is saying, my forgiveness is always ready. My forgiveness never ends. Forgiveness from a settled mind and heart that wants to. God forgives forever. Hebrews 8:12. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. I will never again remember their sins. Are you like that? And I struggle with that one. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. Okay. Here we go. All right. God says, I will never again remember their sins. And this brings the question, does God forgive and forget? It kind of sounds like from Scripture that's what He's saying. I struggle with that one. Because we know that one of the attributes of God is that He is omniscient, meaning He knows all things at all times, right? He's all-knowing. He knows all things at all times. He never forgets. Well, wait a minute. He says here He remembers their sins no more. Is that equal to I've forgotten? And I'm telling God, as I've struggled with this passage, God, if you forget, it disqualifies you from being God because you know all things at all times. So as I worked through this passage, going through the Scriptures, I came to this conclusion. When God says, I forgive you, He says, I still remember what you did, what you said. And when I do remember it, I choose not to act on it. And I'm going, oh, now that's something I can do because I don't forget the stuff people have done to me and I don't forget the stuff I've done to others. Is that you too? You can remember the hard things people have done to you? And God says, when you do remember that, forgive like I do, by choosing not to act on the memory. Raise your hand if you think you can do that. This is good and godly, holy work. Oh man, I tell you what, there's times when I have remembered things that were so difficult. And I say to myself, okay, Delbert, you feel it. I have lots of emotion about it. Maybe shame because the person who made the mistake was me. And I have self-shame. I'm trying to go into condemnation of myself. And and I know that my work now is to not act on that memory. Thank you, Jesus. I can do that. I can choose not to open my mouth and badmouth somebody. I can choose not to tell that story over and over and over. Years ago when I was directing a first and second grade camp, of which my daughter was in over at Cove Camp, we went to the Cove Pool. Anybody been to the Cove Pool? It's a earth-heated pool. It's very nice, about 86 degrees all the time. And we're in this pool, and the little kiddie side of the pool is shallow, and it gets deeper and deeper as it goes down. And so I'm in the deep part swimming with the kids, and I hear the lifeguard blowing her whistle. And I look over, and there's my daughter right here. And she's going down the incline. Every time she jumps up to get air, she goes a little bit deeper. And the lifeguard's standing 4 feet away from her, blowing her whistle, tweet, tweet, tweet. I swim over to Kendra, pull her out of the water, and I say to the lifeguard, get into the pool and pick her up. Blowing your whistle isn't helping her. Then we went back to the camp, and I told that story to the staff and to some of the kids, and I told the story, and I told the story. And God said, Delbert, she's a high schooler. Maybe she's brand new at being a lifeguard. Let's give her some grace. Your daughter's okay. She's all right. And I went, yes, you're right. Okay. I need to do this your way, Lord. And stop acting on the memory. This is what you and I must do that makes us look most like Jesus. Do you know that your community knows when your church is in trouble with each other? Do you know your community knows? Do you know that? How do they know? How do they know? They know because you're out there telling them about someone you don't like in your own church. That's how they know. You're acting on the memory of the offense. And you're telling people. And you feel justified. You're doing justice your own way. And that hurts the entire congregation. That hurts, in fact, every congregation in your community. Because when a person sees one church in trouble, what do they say about all the churches in your town? The exact same thing. And most of all, that hurts the face of Christ in that person's mind. Brothers and sisters, stop acting on the memory. Take it to God. Don't take it to 20 people. Number three, forgiveness is a process, not an event. And what I mean by that is forgiveness is like an onion, the onion principle. Onion has several layers to it, right? And so does forgiveness work. For example, you forgive someone and later you feel the anger and hurt feelings again. When that happens, you are entering into a deeper layer of forgiveness work. To a deeper layer. Say that with me. A deeper layer of forgiveness work. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you are a failure at forgiving. It means there's some more forgiveness work to do. And that's all that means. Don't make it more than that. And so, as we are working out our forgiveness, when more comes, do the work. Because forgiveness work is grief work. There's a sadness in there. Dealing with each layer of forgiveness is done in two steps. Everybody hold up two fingers. Two steps. Number one, forgiveness includes grief work. It is. Because forgiveness always means I've experienced some sort of a loss. That's what grief work is. Working out the loss. I got disrespected, or I got disrespected publicly. Ooh, that feels really bad. Someone stole my money. Someone took something from me. Someone hurt my child. Okay? Mama bears out there? Right? Someone hurt your child? Oh. That's a big one. Forgiveness means something happened that you wished didn't happen. There's a grief point, and grief deals with a loss of some kind. The more you value the relationship, the deeper you will feel the hurt of the offense. And we understand that grief is the process of letting go. Letting go. Letting go. Little by little of what may never be possible again. Oh, I've got so many examples and stories about that. I wish I had the time to share them. Grief is not a one-time act, and neither is forgiveness. It's a process. It's ongoing. That's what Jesus does with us. How many times have you said, okay, all right, Jesus, shake it off. All right, okay. Jesus, I'll never do that again. And 15 minutes later, right, we're doing it again. This is especially true in our addictions. True in our addictions. I'll never do that again. Whatever your addiction is, we're all here in recovery of something. Did you know that? Everyone in this audience right now is in recovery of something. Might be a thought life, might be a word life, might be an action of some sort. You're in recovery of something. Grief is not a one-time act, and neither is forgiveness. Forgiving someone's offense is a process because each time you remember the offense, you have one of two choices to deal with that offense, with that memory. You can choose to be mad or you can choose to be sad. Well, to be mad means you have a demand that the past or that person should have been different than they were. Right? That's what mad says. Mad says, you owe me. Say that with me. You owe me. Now, when we say you owe me, we don't do it like that. We do it like this. Point your finger. You owe me. That's what mad says. You owe me. We want the person or the event to be different than it was. I wish that would have never happened, but it did happen, and we need to deal with it. And we need to deal with it with a mind and a heart that's first put into alignment with God. If we don't do that work first, where are we going? Into the flesh. I'm going to do it my way. My definition of sin is this. I'm going to meet my needs my way instead of letting God meet my needs His way. Because meeting my needs my way can happen right now. And meeting my needs God's way takes time. I got to surrender and slow myself down. So I can choose to be mad or I can choose to be sad, letting go of my demand that the past or the person be different than they were. Letting go of my demand. You owe me. You should have never done that. Why did you do that? Doggone it. Makes me mad. You make me mad. That's a lie too. Nobody can make you mad. How you interpret what they did is what makes you mad. You can be mad or you can be sad. You can be sad. Do the grief work. Do the grief work. Letting go. Letting go of what they owe you. You're choosing to accept the loss that you are facing. And in choosing to be sad, you're choosing to accept the loss. And over time, you get better. You feel better. When I was 20, I had dated a girl all through her high school years. And I graduated in 76. She graduated high school in 78. I graduated Blue Mountain Community College in 78. And she said, let's get married. I was madly in love with this girl. And I said, I'm not ready. I couldn't believe that came out of my mouth. I'm not ready yet. She said, well, okay. And 3 months later, she joined the Army. Off she went. Never saw her again. That fast, I went from madly in love to she's gone. And I'm a mess. For 18 months, I was a mess. And I lost 25 pounds. I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I considered not being on the world anymore. I was in pain. It was a tough go. And I said to my best friend, who is now my brother-in-law, we married sisters, he said, "Delbert, you won't always feel like this." And I said, "You liar. I will always feel like this." He was right. I had to give it time. Grief work isn't quick, is it? It's hard. It's hard. To be sad, it's hard to be sad. To let go of your demand. When God shows you the next layer of grief, He walks with you in it. This is the cool thing. God walks with you in that layer of grief. And the more we allow ourselves to grieve, to let go of what we want, the farther apart our times of grieving become. We're starting to heal. Forgiveness work almost always carries some level of grief work with it. Why? Because where mad says you owe me, sad says you don't owe me anymore. I'm letting go. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. It's done. It is finished. Oh, you just look like Jesus. It is finished. You look most like Jesus when you forgive. So, accepting God's healing for those layers of sadness is the first part of the work of forgiveness. The second part, or the second step of forgiving process, is to choose not to act on the memory of it. Brothers and sisters, we need to hit this over and over and over until we get it, until it becomes part of our faith DNA. Choose not to act on the memory. Because that memory could be 10 minutes old, 20 years old, 50 years old. Talking with a fellow who claims to believe in God, and he was telling me one day about someone who had disrespected his wife. And as we're driving down the road, as we're talking about this, and he said to me, "Delbert, I hope that guy burns in hell." Forgiveness? No. Justice my way. That's what he was doing. Choosing to not act on the memories. So forgive like God does. When you remember someone's offense, choose not to act on the memory of it. That means you don't use opportunities to gossip about a person, use sarcasm, or to be passive and aggressive about tearing that person's memory or their reputation down. Okay, it's hard work. Justice our way means many words. Forgiveness means, I'm quiet. I'm letting God do what He knows must be done, and I'm not taking His place. You've heard the saying, forgive and forget. Do people really forget the hurt done to them? Do you? I don't. Now, the more I do the forgiveness work, the less strong or the weaker the memory gets. Thank you, Jesus. But the memory's still there. I don't forget. God doesn't require us to forget. Everybody go, phew. God does not require you to forget. What He does require, however, is this. That when we remember the offense and the hard feelings that come with it, we choose not to act on those feelings. And those feelings of hurt lessen or weaken over time. It does get easier. Forgiveness is a process. Remember the onion. So there's still maybe some grief and forgiveness work to do. Ask Jesus if there's any forgiveness work that needs to be done in your relationship with somebody right now. Jesus, is there something I need to still do in forgiveness work? Have I been the person who's bad-mouthing someone? Maybe not with my mouth, but I am with my mind and my heart. Get back to God first. Get your mind and heart back into alignment with God first. Forgiveness is the choice to not act on the memory of the offense. How many times will you have to do that? as many times as the memory comes. Back to Jesus. I'm letting go of my demand that the person be different than they were. Jesus answered this. How many times do I have to do this? Jesus answered this for Peter. The answer is 70 times 7. How many times do I need to forgive like this? 70 times 7. Okay, 490 times. I'm at 342 right now. It's not Jesus' point. Jesus' point is 70 times 7 means forever. Ongoing. It never ends. When God shows you where a new layer of forgiveness is needed, He also gives you the grace to continue to forgive. This is the choice you have every time you remember the offense and feel the hurt. Okay. Illustration time. I need a volunteer. Come on up. Okay, I'm going to tie this around your waist, okay?
Okay.
There you go. Put your arms up. There you go. Okay. There you are. I want you to stand right there.
Okay.
Good job. All right. So this is my demand that he had not done what he'd done. Let's pretend you did something and it hurt my feelings, okay? Not that you really did it, but just pretending.
No, like pretend.
Yeah. Okay. So you stay right there. And now I've been hurt by, what's your name?
Holden.
Holden. Got it. Holden. So Holden done something that hurt my feelings. So now I've got this demand on him. And the demand is, you shouldn't have done that, Holden. You shouldn't have said that to me. It hurt my feelings. And so now I'm going, okay, this feels good. Pull on the rope. And every time I pull on the rope, it's like saying to Holden, you owe me, Holden. You owe me an apology. And you should come crawling back to me and beg forgiveness. And he doesn't. The only thing Holden has to do to control me is do nothing. Nothing. And that's what we get from a lot of people, isn't it? Sometimes even if you go try to make amends, you get nothing back. And so here I am. I'm hanging onto the rope. Ah, Holden, give me what I want. Give me, you should, come on, man. And I keep pulling and pulling. And 10 years later, I'm still pulling on the rope. And all Holden has to do is nothing to keep me all riled up. He doesn't have that kind of power over me. He doesn't keep me riled up. My interpretation of what he's doing is keeping me riled up. And then Jesus comes along and says, Delbert, yes, sir? I got something for you. You want to be done with this issue? Yeah, I want him to apologize. That ain't going to happen. Delbert, what? Let go of the rope. What? Let go of the rope. No! Why don't you let go of the rope? Because every time I pull on this rope, it feels like maybe this time he'll give me what I want. Maybe. Well, how come 10 years hasn't made a difference, Delbert? Let go of the rope. No! I'm going to get it. One of these days I'm going to get it. I keep pulling on the rope. One of these days, Delbert, let go of the rope. If you want to be well, let go of the rope. Whew. Jesus. But letting go of the rope feels like my only hope of ever getting what I want. Delbert, you've made the rope me. You've made the rope your God. Let go of the rope. Let me take its place. Ugh. Jesus. Now, what am I tempted to do? I so much want to pick that rope up and go back to another 10 years. 10 more years of demanding that Holden be different than he is. You've got a rope around somebody? If you've been demanding for a long time they be different than they are, Holden, thank you very much. Let's just give him a hand. Good job, buddy. You got a rope around somebody? Maybe this time. How many have you been doing it? Fourthly, our last point today is this. Forgiveness is a powerful testimony of the power of God's love to heal you. Of God's love to heal you. Why is this true? Because left to ourselves without Christ, we will choose to hate and hold on to grudges against our enemies. Giving forgiveness is recognized, forgiveness is recognized by the world as something strange, odd, weird. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're weird." You're all weird. Forgiving people, you're just strange. You don't look like the world looks. You're weird. And the world says, "Stop it. Make me feel guilty." Because as the world, I know where I should be. I know what I should be doing. And when you remind me of what I should be doing, I want you to stop. So I don't feel so bad. We get pressure from the world.